So there's a Gemara, famous Gemara in the Morning Brachos. The Gemara talks about, actually, something we just learned, the Gemara beginning of Ein Omdim. The Gemara says a story over there that there was a Bechasna, and they were getting a little bit too lebedic, and so he took, the Tana took a very expensive glass keli, and he broke it, and it shocked everybody, and he told them, Ozim al Yisrach Pinu. Then in the future, our mouths will be full of schaik. But right now, that's not the proper thing to do. My wife reminded me, I told her the topic, because we were once by the Shiva of Isaac Ozban, Zichel Bracha, and the ladies were in the kitchen. Isaac Ozban was the epitome of Edelkeit. He was about 5'1", 5'2", and he was very small and thin, and he walked like this, and he would talk like this. He could never raise his voice. And they're getting too boisterous in the kitchen, and all of a sudden he goes, the claps of his hands, that was his way of giving mussar, that they're getting too boisterous in the kitchen. Okay, so Ozim al Yisrach Pinu. This is a pasuk than a law. Now, if you learn the Gemara, the Gemara does not see it as part of Korban. The Gemara does not see it as part of the issue of Korban. But interesting, it's brought down on Shulchan Aruch in the Siman, which talks about things which we do Zeichel the Korban. It brings down, there's also the Adam, it's also a person to be mildly selected by the Mazet. And like Mishabur says, because also you want to select Pinu. And that's Sif and Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tavkuf Arachayim, Siman Tavkuf Samach. So the Taz says, I feel a Bapurim. Comes up, your Rabbi says, no, Purim, there's no way of being mildly selected. Mishabur quotes the Taz, he does not quote the Arli Arabah, Salachal Maisa, he follows the Taz. But what's the machloikis between the Taz and Arli Arabah? This is not a halacha shir, it's not a halacha klumdus, but you know, it's a fascinating. What is this machloikis? Okay, what is the union of schaik, thief, schaik? Why is it something which only has to be in the future? And why might Purim be different? Okay. A person wins the lottery, and they're interviewing the person who won the lottery, and this person was working in a garment factory for doing piecework at minimum wage, whatever the minimum wage is nowadays, I don't know anymore, let's say $11 an hour, working, 12-hour shifts, and coming home with no money to pay for everything they need. They buy a lottery ticket, and they win this lottery ticket, and then they now own $500 million, $500 million, right? So interviewing this woman, in her broken English, and she's crying and she's laughing. Okay, so we know why she's crying. There's the most of simcha, right? Whatever the concept of the most of simcha is, but there's such a thing as the most of simcha. What's so funny? Why is it funny? She's just like laughing, right? The other end of the spectrum, you have the CEO of a company, the owner of a company, and this fellow is a tyrant, and he's ruthless, and he's horrible, and he just works to people, and he doesn't care about them, and he yells at them, he screams at them, and he's mean and outsting. And one day he's walking out of the front of the building into his waiting limousine, etc., and he slips on a banana peel, and now all the employees see this, and everybody goes control themselves because they don't want to lose their job. But and also one person loses it, and they start laughing, and next thing you know, the whole place is laughing. What's so funny? Person fell on a banana peel. If you want to diffuse it, really funny. Banana peel, person on the floor. Why is it funny? But you had to be there. You had to be there. It was funny then. Really, why? If it's not funny now, I'm telling it over, so why was it funny then? What is tzchaik exactly? What is this? What is this emotional laughter that we develop? A good comedian. So what does he do? So he takes a good comic strip. That's So he takes this picture of president whatever it is and exaggerates it. So the next thing you have a lot of hair or a big nose or long necks or whatever it is. Really funny. Why is it? What touches us by that? What affects us by that? So, without getting involved in why the Baruch Hashem made the world the way he did, but this is the way he made the world, is that we have a certain picture of the way the world should be. When things are not the way they seem to be, we find that funny, and that's why you use the word funny for weird. That's pretty funny. That sounds strange. The word funny and strange are interchangeable. And funny and funny are interchangeable also. It's the same idea. When something seems to not fit, so a person who's been living impoverished and they can't afford to figure out how to pay for their food and their rent together, they say all of a sudden they now never have a worry again in the rest of their life, at least that's what they believe at that moment. Right? It's so incongruous with the reality that it's funny. You take this individual which has created this aura of power around himself and you show him to be powerless. That's funny. So the process of schoik is when we take what we seem to be is reality as the teva, and it's shown to be that that's not true. That we misunderstood teva, and we realize that this new version of it is so incongruous with our thought process that we find it strange, equal funny, and therefore it's funny and we laugh. So schoik is the ability to take something which seems to be A, and show that it's B, and find that strange, and react to it with feeling funny. There's a concept called litzanus. Litzanus is the act to cut something down from its aura being larger than life to its real reality, or to take somebody who is of size and cut it to even smaller than he really is. That's the act of litzanus. Take it out of this picture of what you perceive it and make it to be perceived to be less. And that's the koyach of litzanus. So call litzanus asura, kutzim litzanus at avodah zarah. Because avodah zarah is just puffed up. It's nothing. There's no reality to avodah zarah, but it looks very powerful. It's presented to be this old. When you make litzanus out of it, you cut it down to size. A person who's a bal gaiva, and you make litzanus out of him, you cut him down to size. Okay, you take an average human being and you cut him down below what he is, or a situation, or whatever it is, you're not appreciating the reality, because the reality is it's much more chashuv than you think it is. There's nothing in this world which doesn't have a value. So the Mora says, litzanus is a negative thing. Cynicism, right? Biting cynicism, which you don't take anything for real. You don't take anything seriously. He's cynical. Right? Nothing is taken at its face value of the value that it's presented. They don't really mean it. They say, but they don't really mean it. You know, the type of attitude doesn't allow you to appreciate what you have, and you can't absorb something unless you appreciate what it is. So the opposite of kavod, which is the appreciation of the value which is there, that's kavod. The opposite of kavod is litzanus, to cut something down. We have something which is puffed up. The power of litzanus is that's of avodah zarah in that sense, and that the power of litzanus is to cut it down. So again, it's a process of perception A, perception B, and the change is the process which they share the element of schoik. Making schoik of something, making fun of it in a negative sense, is the process of litzanus, and it has needs. You know, litzanus is necessary at certain times. Rav Aaron told over the story recently. That one of the issues, he was speaking in an AJOP convention in the West Coast, and the topic, one of the issues what they're dealing with was the fact that you have these very cynical blogs out there which are undermining, you're trying to make hire people, and they go online and they read these stories, and you know, and they make nothing real, nothing is honest, nothing is of value. Very sad they do that, because it undermines the ability to appreciate what's really valuable. So that was the topic. So at the end, David Cohn, who came by, he says, I do want to point out that litzanus does have a value. There are cases of litzanus that does have a value. He says, I'll give you an example where it had a value. Without getting involved in all the details, the story is a great story, but you know. There was a chashuv, a rav, who was being brought in as an expert witness in a case, which the topic was something which was relevant to Yiddishkeit. And the lawyer for the other side wanted to cut the rabbi down. So he figures he's going to like make the rabbi look foolish in the eyes of the judge and the lawyers and the jury, etc. And by doing so, they're going to discredit all of his testimony. It's not really bad because he's looking a little bit strange. So of course, this young whippersnapper lawyer thinks that he can, you know, run circles around this elderly rabbi with his white beard. And of course, right, The elderly rabbi was Reb Lazer Silver, which you do not run circles around Reb Lazer Silver in any which way, shape, or form. So he says, Rabbi, you're an Orthodox rabbi. He says, yes. Orthodox rabbi. He says, you know, you're an expert on this topic. Yes, on this topic. Yes. He says, Rabbi, you believe in the Bible? Of course, yes. So, I believe in the Bible literally? Yes. Of course, I believe in the Bible literally. So it's always important as a lawyer to get the guy to say yes, yes, yes. He says, okay, so you believe the story. It says that Balaam, that's his English name for Bilaam, right, and his donkey, and they're having this conversation, and Balaam starts speaking to the donkey, starts speaking to Balaam. He says, do you believe? He says, yes, of course I believe that story. He says, Rabbi, have you ever seen a donkey speak to a human being? He says, yes, as a matter of fact, right now. And the whole courtroom lost it. Right? Nobody could, the judge himself, everybody just burst out laughing, and the lawyer looked like a stupid idiot. And the headlines in the newspaper the next day was, do not set up with Rabbi Silver. That was the headlines in the Cincinnati paper the next day. That's where Lassonis is very important. Right, that was his point. Yes, you need the son. That's really, you know, that's that laser or silver. Just like you use the karech of tzaddas to cut down this lawyer who was puffed up and thought he was whatever, to realize he's probably just shortened his career. Okay, so but the tzchaik is when we have a perception of reality and it's wrong. And when we see that change, and it's in Congress, we don't expect it to be like that. All of a sudden, it is like that. The suddenness of that change, we find funny. Okay. We know that the Zohar says that every time it says Hamelech in the Megillah, if it says Hamelech Achashverosh, it's referring to Achashverosh. And it says Hamelech, it's referring to Achashverosh. It's also referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu, referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu as well. So the very funny, sort of Tzaddik points out in the Megillah, so Haman comes into Achashverosh. Achashverosh had a sleepless night, and then the Malbim learns that Esther has asked for this meeting together, this party together with Mishteh Hayayin, together with her and only Haman, and it's like strange. Like, why is Esther's connected to Mordecai? He knows that Mordecai and Haman do not get along with each other. He's already made this decree, etc. She wants to invite Haman. What's going on over there? So she believes, he starts wondering, the Malbim says, that maybe there's a plot against him. And she and the Haman are plotting against him, which, you know, that was part of the life of being a king, is that there's always plots on the royal personage. So he was, you can imagine that the Achashverosh was not, that was the common problem, and he was worried about it. So he remembers there was a plot way back when, you know, he says, well, you know, they're not going to plot against me because everybody knows that you get a royal reward. If there's any plot, they'll inform me about it. He says, you know, has there been anybody I haven't rewarded properly? So he's all worried about this issue. He brings in the Sefer Zichronos, and they start reading the story about the son of Esrish. Mordecai wasn't, says, wow, I'm in big trouble. Right? All of a sudden, early in the morning, Haman shows up in the chatzar. Now, that's really strange. Why is he coming this early in the morning? The Malbim says he must be planning to do something against me. This is what Achashverosh is already in the negative mode vis-a-vis Haman. So he asks Haman, "Lemi yachpatz melech lasos yikar yosem imeni?" And Haman says, "Hoyish Hashem melech lavet v'karoy yivilu v'lush malchus and the kesser shetam barashur." So the Malbim says that he asked to wear the kesser. Now, Achashverosh is not stupid. Achashverosh really, someone was talking about himself. And he gave him this dirty look. He knows that in the next point of the thing, there's no mention of the Kesser anymore. So Achashverosh already has been planted in his mind that Haman is out to get the Kesser. That's how the Malbim learns the story. Okay, here Haman believed by, "Lemiyach poitz ha-melech lasos yikar yosem imeni." So Haman says to his heart, "So who is there in the world that the Melech would want to honor more than me?" It says HaMelech, it doesn't say HaMelech HaKashverosh, which means that HaMelech, who in the world would God want to honor in the world more than me? Right? This is Haman talking, right? Haman, Amaleki, you know, is saying, you know, God loves me so much that there's nobody in the world that he likes better than me. Right? Really? It's like Rasadik says, you think about that, like, you know, Haman was like off his rocker. I mean, he might think he's the most, we sort of picture the Haman and all of the Purim cartoon books, like he looks like the villain with the pencil mustache, He doesn't think, he's this big, wonderful tzaddik, He doesn't picture himself, but that's not how you picture Haman. Haman looks in the mirror and he says, wow. He sees an angel with a halo on top. He says, God loves me. There's nobody in the world that God would want to honor more than me. Well, that wasn't correct. And the Chazreirish informs him, right, that he's a Sharmelech of Hetzikor is referring to Mordechai. That talk makes sense to us. But what was Haman thinking? All right, okay. So to really digest it 100%, I can't tell you I understand 100%. But it's an interesting thing that you see the other religions, which the other world religions which respond by Judaism, they have a theme in common, that they're the new Jews, right? So they don't deny the Old Testament. They know that there was Jews, etc., Jew chosen people, etc. But the Jews have done horrible things, etc. They've been, and now really, these people instead are the new Jews. They now the chosen. They've taken over that right. And it comes, so that's religion one. Comes and says, no. And we're well, the real, you have one of these shows, well, the real Jew, please stand up, right? In 79, so I can't tell you guys remember because you weren't born yet, but you might have read somewhere the story about the Islamic Revolution, which took place in Iran in 1979. And Ayatollah Khomeini becomes the supreme leader of the country of Iran. And early in the 80s, so he makes this proclamation. He says he's going to destroy, wipe Israel off the map because the Jews don't deserve to survive anymore because the Iranians, based on his decree, are much more tzniistic than the Jews in Israel. That's what he said. So I remember when it happened, the Shiva of Chaim was meeting with a group of, older, it wasn't a public forum, it was a private forum, it was a few of us put together with Shiva, and he says he admitted to us that he's extremely nervous. He's partially extremely nervous. He says he's trying to make a kitrug and shemayim against us by pointing out that they have the Milo Tznius above us. He brought there's a medrash like that the Yishmaelim will come along and say that that because they keep their makban on the Mila, which is element of Tznius, the kayach of those in Yanam of Kedusha, etc. So they're makban more than the Jews, and therefore they deserve to have the land of Israel. It's a medrash like that. He says he's trying to invoke that medrash that he may make a kitrug against shemayim that they're going to replace the Jews. This was what he said. Shiva Chaim said, and he said, "Well, he said, you cannot take this. It's not a joke. It's a very serious issue. We have to daven tremendously, and etc." It was like, he was really scared. That was an interesting reaction. Hitler, Yimach Shmoy, presents that there's this battle for the conscious of the mind of mankind. The Jews have grafted this element of conscience, and the correct way to see the world is the way we see the world, and the Jews are undermining it. It's a fight between the Jews and us, and we're going to win. And they believe that this is really the purpose of the world, the way the world is supposed to be. Haman believes that he and the Malachim and their worldview is the correct world with how the world is supposed to run. It's not just, let's kill the Jews. Let's have fun and kill the Jews. It's a whole attitude. Okay. He's destroyed. Now, it's pretty funny, because if you picture, if we would be there, besides that, you'd be scared to laugh under the circumstances, but you'd be able to picture Haman in the moment thinking he's reached the pinnacle of glory, he's going to be put in his final moments of glory, he's being put on the horse and paraded around the city with the Kesar Malchus, right, looking like he's the king. And this is the dream which he schemed for, and he believes he's finally reached a point where he's supplanted the Jews of the world, and he and his people and his approach has taken over the country. And that moment, taken over the world. At that moment, he falls into disgrace. It has to be funny. All you need is like one person to start laughing, and then forget it. Like everybody's going to burst out laughing. It's really funny. I mean, again, you wouldn't do it because it wouldn't be safe. You might lose your head. But totalitarian society, you meet people who came from Russia, and they don't laugh. They're always very serious. You lived in a world, but you wasn't safe to laugh. You know, like you always had your wits about you. You never laughed. So like if you laughed at the wrong thing, it was your last laugh. Okay. So there's a Gemara like this. There's a Gemara number of Zorah. I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara. The Gemara says, "Burn is a pasuk." The Mishnah starts off in Beis Min Aleph. If they idayim shall have the chachavim before the celebrations, the Gemara has two versions: whether you spell it with an aleph or with an ayin. The Gemara brings a pasuk: yitin idayim v'yitztaku pasuk in Yeshaya, bring their testimony. V'yitztaku, and that's the Gemara. Then from that, the Gemara brings a story which lasts a whole blot of Gemara. Starts in Beis Amud Aleph and ends on Gimel Amud Beis. It's almost two blot of Gemara. The Gemara says that Lashon Rabbah Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring a Sefer Torah and hold the Sefer Torah in his cake, and he's going to say, "Whoever Misha Osik Ba Yabo Vayito Scharay." So who's going to line up? Miyad Miskabsim Aboyim Ovdei Kachavim Beruvia. All of the nations come Beruvia, and they're ready to. We kept the Torah, and we want rewards. Rosh is no Beruvia over here. Please, it's one nation at a time. Okay, so they line up. Rome goes first. So what do they say? So they walk in the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "No, what's your taina?" Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, "I'm asked them. So how did you keep the Torah?" Amar the father, "Rebbeinu Shalom, what do you mean? Harbor Shvakim Tikina. We made markets. Harbor Mechatzos Asina. We made bathhouses. Kesef Azav Rebbeinu. We gathered gold and silver. Rukulam Loisina Ela Bishul Yisrael Kadeshi Yaskuba B'Torah." But the only reason why we had in mind to make all these marketplaces and bring all the food, make food available, and make bathhouses, etc., so the Jews should sit and learn. Like feedback? Right? Kadosh Baruch Hu says back to them, Amar Lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shoytim Shabaylam, fools. Komash HaSisim L'Tarach HaTzachem HaSisim. Takatim Shwakim Lahis Behem Zoinus, Merkosos Ladim Behem Atzvachem, Kesavazor belongs to me anyway. Right? So Mishkarov says, "What? Shaitim Shabarlam, Shakranu. Liars. You did it the only reason why you went and spread Rome all over the world and built bathhouses and Merkosos just for the Jews to learn Torah. You're lying through your teeth. Shaitim Shabarlam, why the Shaitim?" It's Mishkarov's cash. Okay, comes in. Next comes Paras, and Paras says, "Okay, Mamasak them. Gasharna, we made harbor. We made bridges. Harbor Krachim Kavashna. We captured cities. Mechamas Asinu, and we only did it because Yisrael. Okay, she's asking about her. Versus the same answer. Mashasisa Matzarach Atzach Masisa. You made the Gesharim, why'd you make the bridges? Lisa Behemechus, because you can charge the toll to go over the bridge, right? Etc. The next nation said, "Listen, if Paras and Rome got, we're not going to do any better, they just pull back." Okay, then they said like this, "Rabbeinu Shalom, it's not fair. You didn't offer us the Torah. Kulum the Satalano, look, you Belnuah." So the Rosh Hashanah says, "I didn't offer it to you. Of course I offered it to you. Klum kibal noah, but like kiyam noah. Yeah, but we weren't." And so the Rosh Hashanah says, "Why weren't you Mekabalites? Okay, no. Did you force us? Kfis Yolein HaKarka Gigas? Did you force the Jews?" The Rosh Hashanah says, "One second. You have Zion Mitzvahs, but we're not doing very good on the record on that. Like, why should I force you to do 613? And have you blow that also?" So, fine. So they said, "Okay, listen, fine, but at least, give us a second chance." So they said, "It's too late." Then the Morris says, "Who said the Jews kept the Torah?" Says, "You're negeya gebeedus benibachar Yisrael. Shemayim baretz negeya, they're negeya beedus. Shemayim baretz shemimeya, because if the Jews don't keep the Torah, the whole world falls apart." I mean, I find that strange answer, but okay, so I mean, the fact that the world has fallen apart means that that's true. So, okay, but fine, Rosh Hashanah, let that go. All right. So, The person says, okay, you know, you'll be made about the Jews, that the Jews kept Torah. Let Nimrod come and be made about what Avram did. Let Lavan come and be made what Yaakov was like, etc. Let's do it. Shaitim Shabailam. Misha Tark Bar Shabbos, Yechel Bashabbos. Misha Tark Bar Shabbos, Behechen Yechel Bashabbos. It's too late. Sheikh's here. El, you know what? Alpha began. Mitzakal Yeshli with Sukkah Shema. Luchu Vasu. I want you to go do the Mitzvah of Sukkah. Miyad, at the Gemara, what do? They go, Kalecha Vechel Noitel, Behelech Voice, Sukkah, Barosh Gagoy. Right, we're sukkah people. Look, show off the sukkah on top of the Rish Gag. Not in the backyard. But I feel like, you know, oh, sukkah. The Rish says, okay, no problem. And he's marked the chama, takes out the chama, betuvas tamas. It's boiling hot. Kolech lechem avayt misukosei v'yoytzei. So they kick the sukkah. So the Rish says, you know, mitzaris potter. Yeah, but you know, they're not supposed to kick the sukkah. Miyad, Kosh Baruch Hu Yosef and Masachak Aleim. The Bershom laughs at them. Yosef Shom Yitzchak, Amr Yitzchak ain't schoik with their Kosh Baruch Hu Elois Hayyam Bovad. That's it. This is the only day the Bershom laughs. Gemara says it's not true. The Gemara says a different story. That the Bershom laughs. The Bershom says, no, this is the only time he laughs at his creations, not with his creations. The Gemara says a second story that Emma Kalmagerim, Mamos HaMashiach, they were Mekabel Gerim, the Moshe Mashiach. Mashiach comes. So they became, all of a sudden, the Goyim start wearing tefillin, Bersheim, tefillin Bezoriseim, Tzitzis Bebigdeim, Azuzah Pibiskeim. You know, they look like they're Jews. Okay? Mechabes Gog and Magog. So Mashiach is here, Gog and Magog. And so Goy comes to them and he says, Goy Melamos says, which side are you on? He says, Ois tefillin, ois tzitzis, ois mezuzah. We're on your side. The Bershom laughs. What's funny? Why is it tzchoik? They're coming along and saying, "We're the Jews. We took over. We can do it as well as they can." And they so the Mishnah Rabbah says like this. They were right. The Rambam says in Akdamah the Pirush Mishnayos that the Bershom put kin in the world. So Reuven builds a nice house. Shimon builds a nicer house. Now Shimon builds his nicer house. And one day, one time, a tzaddik is passing by, and it's very hot, and he needs a shade, and he sits in the shade of this gorgeous house, gigantic house, makes shade. He rests in his shade. He's able to go continue on and do his whatever he has to accomplish. That's why the human being made this house. So why do they make shvakim and mechusos and geshorim all for the Jews? That's true. They'll see a loss of love. That's not what they had in mind. So that's shakranim. But they're shaitan. Do they think that they should get reward for that when that wasn't what their intent was? So the guy says, you know, I built this gorgeous house. At one time, you know, Chaim Kanevsky should sit in its shade. Ha! I deserve a reward. The person says, excuse me, you built your house because you wanted to show off, how, you know, and make everybody else jealous of you. That's why you built your house. That people should spend their lives with heart attacks trying to make enough money. Right? And people died because of you. Like, don't give me this. You should get a reward for that. Yes. I allowed it to happen because I wanted Chaim Kanevsky to have a shade one time. Okay. But what does it do with you? So what's the schoik? The schoik is they had a picture of a reality. And it's wrong. It's totally wrong. You can't be malas schoik people alam azat, because even if we chap that the picture is wrong, we don't really chap how wrong the picture is. So we have this version of what reality is, and once we don't, you know, it's not like that. So, right, person is, you know, misses the plane, and he comes back, you know, and he's all upset. He has an important plane. He had to get this flight. He had to get there. Comes back, and he hears that, you know, the plane blows up over the Atlantic Ocean, and you know, wow. So he starts laughing. It wasn't the reality he expected. But is that a full view of the whole story? You don't have to send the whole story. So it might be so Reisman, person came to me, he missed the plane, you know, and he was really upset. It was an important meeting. He had to make it to Europe. Da, 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 da. So you still Reisman says to him, like, you know, he says, if I would have told you that this plane, you know, went down in the ocean, like, what would your reaction be? I said, thank God. Baruch Hashem didn't make on the plane. So he says, Russia. You need 426 people to die, right? all of the passengers plus all of the crew to die, that you should be happy? The Russian obviously had a reason why you didn't make the plane. You need to. Now I know why the plane missed. And if you don't know the depression, they never good reason. So we don't get the whole picture. We don't know what the picture is. So you can't be malapibs chalek ba'olam hazeh. You can't if you don't see the real picture. We get a little glimpse. Purim is the day you see the whole picture. So tell your rabbi. Purim, the whole mask is pulled away. A whole story from beginning to end is pulled away. And you have such clarity that we mamish got the whole thing wrong. So there's a schreik there. It's funny. We had this whole picture of, yeah, Haman really is in power, and Vashti, and Achashverosh, and blah, 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 blah. We had the whole thing worked out. Now, the Goyin says that Betzim, the Gzair in Shemayim, was a Gzair which was impossible to destroy. It was impossible to destroy. Rebbe, this is over. The pasuk says that Hibapur Huagarol, Humam Ula Abdom, to confuse them and to destroy them. What's the confusion for? He says, listen, we're going to kill you, but before we kill you, we're going to spin you around 17 times, you should get confused. Then we'll kill you. Like, what's the Humam Ula Abdom? Who cares the Humam Ula Abdom? He says, you're not going to die without being until you're confused. We're going to wipe out all the Jews, destroy all the Jews, plus they're also going to be confused before they go. Like, really, who cares? He said like this. He made this girl, and he was able to mavar al-pi mazolus and al-pi the marachas ha-shemayim of the garden that the Jews are supposed to be destroyed. 100%. He's scared of the power of tefillah of the Jews. So he publicized the cheshbon. He explained exactly why, according to the science of shows, the Jews have to be destroyed. Now, I'm a Jew, and I read the paper that says, like the Shushan Chronicles, it says, Haman publicized a scientific paper explaining why the Jews have to be destroyed. And the Shemaim, the Jews, says, boy, wow, we're done. So we don't daven. The Humam, to confuse them, to get them overwhelmed, paralyzed. They're not going to daven. Then he can destroy them, because he knows the Jews, with their tefillah, can overpower them. He's planning. The Jews are supposed to be destroyed. The reality was we were supposed to be destroyed. Hapidar Chateva, we were supposed to be destroyed. The Goyin says that the challenge was so high that to be able to overcome it, there was a way, way high place in Shemayim. Only Mordechai Nesser to the Kayach of Tznius, which reaches to the highest Madregas of the Shemayim, were they able to reach above and beyond and bring down the Yeshua for Klal Yisrael. We were in total danger that the Jewish nation should be wiped out. And next thing you know, like Mordechai, Klal Yisrael, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mesiyadim, it was the funniest thing in the world. It was totally not what the reality. The reality was totally wrong. That's schlik. So Purim is a day that you see the full picture. Zatali Rabbi, you let him mal schlik piv on Purim. Okay, a few last thoughts. Where do you see this? So we see this. Hafata misbi le mochel li. He hafata ebel masosa. And what I thought was misbi really is mochel. Right. We also see it in another area of challenge of our lives. There's a wonderful person named Rabbi Shimon Apisdorf. If you've ever read some of his, seen his book works, he's Aaron Jacob's father-in-law. So he wrote this Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Survival Kit. So he has a story within the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Survival Kit. Now, I relate to it very well because he's from Cleveland. And I can picture, there's a boulevard in Cleveland called Shaker Boulevard. Shaker Boulevard has a northwest, it runs east-west. And it has a north side and a south side going, going west and going east. In between, instead of just having a little median, there's a park in the middle. You see the north side and the south side. The side going west, side going east. About 300 feet wide. A very exclusive neighborhood, etc. Shaker Heights, a very exclusive neighborhood. Shaker Heights, Beachwood, etc. So he lived there. His father one day buys him a thoroughbred. An old, retired thoroughbred. So he takes his thoroughbred, he knows how to ride a horse. He takes him one day to go ride down this park in the middle. Now, the park is on level with the cross streets. Every once in a while, there's a cross street coming through the middle. But it's no problem. This is an old horse. He says the old horse, Nebuch, looks at this beautiful path of grass straight ahead for like a mile, a few miles, and says he has deja vu, and he thinks he's a young thoroughbred again. And he takes off flying down this boulevard. And I'm holding on for dear life, since he's and there's a cross street coming, and this car is going, and the horse is going, he's like, this is it, it's all over. He's closing his eyes, it's done. He says, that's the goof of the neshama. The goof is the horse, the neshama is the rider. And all of a sudden, the neshama realizes, you know, the goof is like, and the neshama is holding on for dear life, you know, like, whoa, stop! Right? And then sometimes you go and you watch a horse and a rider together. It's the most gorgeous. They function as one. The rider's in total control. And you see just like, you see it functioning almost, you can't even figure out where the horse ends and the rider begins. It's like perfect synchronization between the horse and the rider. What is our picture of the goof and the neshama? Is it this reckless horse with the rider on top? Or is it the rider in total control and the goof functioning exactly as the rider wants it to accomplish? And that's right, so we picture the other one. One day we come to the recognition that's funny. That's the wrong picture. The real picture is the rider totally in control. That's the relationship which we're supposed to understand. So Rav Sisalanter says that on Purim, it says Eitz Das Tevura, the Koich of Das makes a lot of problems. The real challenge is, what is the goof? How does the goof function? Have you made the goof that the goof should be in sync with the neshama? So there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that, you know, Allah Salavai. So the goof and the neshama are judged as one. I'm not a neshama, I'm not a goof. I'm a combination of both. You got a wrong picture of understanding what you are. You're not a fight between a goof and a neshama. That's totally wrong. The judgment is a combination of goof and neshama together as one unit. That is how you're judged. It means that is what you are. And any other picture is funny. That's the schoik of Purim. So Sosalanta says, okay, let's see what the goof looks like when the neshama isn't the rider. The rider isn't. He held the pshat in, I'm not passing the local maisa. He held the pshat in Adil Yoda was a patur, not a chiyu. He mechiv the drink. You get the point out of the yoda, you're potter from drinking anymore. When you come back to your senses, you're mechuyev again. So it was in the yidua that on Purim, Yisrael reached what's called shichus shalot. He was partially totally out, totally drunk. So what would happen? Yisrael Salanta was the biggest gun of the generation come out. He was master himself all the time. See, here he is, and he has no control. So they would ask him kashas and learning. And he would give marachas and shiurim him, and he would, you know, like, when the neshama is not the one running the show, what's the goof look like? The goof looks gorgeous. So he says, Purim was the day of the bechina of the goof. Let's test what the goof looks like. And we realize, we think our goof is like, it's fighting us, and it's not kaddish. And Purim realized, no, you got it all wrong. The goof is supposed to be kaddish. The goof itself is kedusha. The Ramchal says that the goof was so pure it looked like what we call a neshama nowadays. That's what's going to be lost in love. That a goof can look like that. You got the picture of a goof all wrong. And you realize one day you wake up and say, you know, that's the funniest thing in the world. Well, I thought a goof looks like this lowly here. That's not what a goof is. That's what a creation of a Kaddish Baruch Hu looks like. So Zot Eli Rabbi, you're allowed to laugh on Purim. Because in Purim we realize we totally get the whole world wrong. Every part of the world is wrong. Klai Yisrael came to my recognition that their Hodor Kiblu of Be'ech HaShveiris B'Ma'avas HaNeis, that they totally, every single fiber of their being wants the Torah. There's no part of the body that has to be forced into the Torah, because every part of our being wants Torah. That is a Jew. We want every part of us wants Torah. That's the funniest thing in the world. We thought we had a picture of a Jew, which is wrong. You look to the, you know, we thought the Jews, there's a fight, there's who started him, and there's a goof fighting the neshama. What is it? No. Wow, that was really funny the way I thought. At Purim, you're allowed to laugh. You're allowed to laugh the full Mali Tzchak Piyu, because Purim gives a picture of what it looks like lost in love. From there, we have the Muna and the understanding. Even when the next day closes in on us, we don't see the clarity, but at Purim, we got the clarity to understand what the world really looks like and how funny it is when we look at the world in the Fahumta way that we do every single other day. And at Purim, we get to laugh at the mistake of how we picture our reality of what we are as a human being, the relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu into the world, the role of the Jews in the world, and how the Rosh Hashanah runs the world, all these things which we got wrong every single day of the year, we have such clarity in Purim. That in Purim, it's like Lasid Lava, we're going to see that clear picture. So you allow to be Malapuschak Piv on the day of Purim.